This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Central Texas Small Business Spotlight Show, Season 2, Episode 6. In each episode, I introduce you to some small business in the Central Texas area, and this one is very special. Next up, you will meet Nick Canedo of We Are Blood.
All right, everybody join me in welcoming Nick Canedo from We Are Blood to the show. Nick, how are you doing today?
Doing well under the circumstances. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. You bet. You know, y'all are one of the first ones I thought about when we started doing these shows highlighting what's going on with COVID-19 because I donate there, and I just got to wondering, man, I wonder if they're having trouble getting people to come up there donating it.
Yeah, well, as a donor, you know that the need is there every single day. So blood donation is a serious topic under normal circumstances, but especially now when people are being encouraged to shelter in place and many businesses, schools, and communities are shutting down.
Let's back up to the name. I know when things change from being the different sets of regional blood banks to We Are Blood, it confused me at first, but now I like it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you like the name. Thank you. Yeah, so we've been around serving Central Texas since 1951, but around, I think it's close to 4 years ago now, we decided to rebrand and rename ourselves as We Are Blood. And what went into that was, well, really, we had so many different iterations of our name, the Blood and Tissue of Central Texas, the Blood Center of Central Texas Blood and Tissue Center, that it wasn't very recognizable or knowable when you would see us on the street. And another thing we wanted to address was that in Central Texas specifically, we've had a huge influx of people migrating to this area for work and other things, and we wanted to be easily recognizable with them as well. So we thought We Are Blood, which really sends a message of community because it is the blood supply that does bind us all together. We all rely upon it, and we can all donate to help. We Are Blood really felt like it encapsulated that message, and we've been pretty pleased with it and have a lot of positive response. Now, anytime I mention where I work, people always say, I think I've seen your bus on the street.
Yeah. I love that because being a marketing guy, you know, I love the different ways of looking at it. We Are Blood being you guys, but also being us, the people, and just the human body, you know, and what a portion of the human body is actually blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's such an important resource, and that's one of my favorite parts about working here and our mission is that people who come and donate blood don't do so for any particular other segment of the community. The blood that you donate goes to anyone in need, and that's such a nice notion, especially in these times.
Yeah, definitely. I know, you know, if you donate so often, you earn points, and I went one time and got a cap from y'all, and I'm a cap guy. I love caps.
And oh, great. Yeah.
I got one that said, We Are Blood, and I've gotten more comments from that one from any of the other ones I've had saying, oh, that's such a cool cap.
Well, we love to hear that. We love giving away swag with our name on it because y'all are our best advertisers and motivators for more donors in the community.
Nice. So tell me about some of the struggles related to COVID-19 that you're having at We Are Blood.
Sure. So when the COVID-19 pandemic started in early to mid-March, the first signs in our community were businesses implementing work-from-home policies, altering their business access policies, and then finally schools canceling and doing remote education. So those are our biggest blood drive hosts. And under normal circumstances, our mobile blood drives collect half the blood donations that we need for our community. So when those started to fall off abruptly at that, we knew that we could have a serious blood shortage on our hand if we didn't act quickly. And doing so meant getting out to the community and encouraging them to come to our donor centers. We operate 3 in our area. And also, if there were any communities who had access to parking lots, in bathroom access or even inside setups for inside blood drives and bathroom access, that they could still get in touch with us and host mobile blood drives so that we can maintain the blood supply while people were being encouraged to shelter in place and maintain social distancing. At the same time, another huge concern was collecting enough safety supplies and cleaning supplies and PPE so that we could operate safely while protecting our donors and staff. So those were all things we had to ramp up very quickly.
Nice. So on the organization of blood drives, I saw a Facebook sponsored message about that you're encouraging people to do that. How do they go about doing that?
So if you have a community that is interested in hosting a blood drive, know that it's still allowed at this time and we can do so safely. You can email us at blooddrives@weareblood.org and a staff person will get back to you to discuss logistics and then check out what areas you're thinking about hosting a drive-in.
Nice. And how has the actual practice of donating blood changed for the workers there and or the people coming in to donate?
So the biggest thing that most people will notice is that we have gone to mandatory appointment-only donations. So usually we encourage appointments, but walk-ins are allowed. Right now we're using appointments only so that we can kind of control donor traffic a little better and ensure that we're abiding by social distancing measures at our centers and mobile drives. We're also upping our cleaning procedures significantly. We're wiping down common areas every hour, wiping down donor beds every donor, and wiping down interview booths every donor. You'll also notice that our staff are all wearing safety surgical masks now, and we're encouraging the donors to do so as well, as many counties in our service area have set that as a public order. So there's a lot of different things that we're doing right now because obviously it's incredibly important to protect our donors and staff during this time and make donors feel safe when they're coming to donate during the pandemic.
Nice. So you mentioned several counties are saying that's an order. Do you know which counties in your service area require the mask versus which ones that don't?
I'm pretty sure that Travis County, Williamson County, and Hayes are the ones that have the surgical mask requirement, a face covering requirement at this time.
Right.
But I'm not sure. So that's why we implemented it across the board for all of our centers, even though they're in two different counties, and our mobile drives, which span 10 counties, just to make sure that we're being consistent.
Nice. And so if somebody was to come up to you and say, hey, I normally donate blood, but I'm worried that if I donate blood, it will weaken my immune system while that blood is regenerating. How do you address that?
Well, it's pretty standard the amount of blood that we draw from each individual, and it's already been FDA approved to know that it's not going to weaken your immune system like that. What we're really worried about is strenuous physical activity following a blood donation rather than a compromised immunity. That's why people like the Surgeon General and the CDC and the FDA are all encouraging blood donation as an essential activity right now that's critical to protecting our own communities and patients who need help.
And I guess as far as the need, has the need risen? Because, you know, things like elective surgery are still off the table, but has the need grown because of COVID-19?
The need has remained pretty consistent. You're correct that elective surgeries have been canceled, which reduced things for a few weeks. But as people may have seen in the news, the state of Texas, as recommended by Governor Abbott, is actually allowing more elective surgeries to go through. So we're going to start seeing an uptick of the amount of blood transfusions needed, while at the same time, most businesses and schools are not coming back and won't be hosting drives anytime soon. So really, we just need to keep encouraging people to book appointments. Right now, we've seen an outstanding response from the community. So if you want an appointment, you might have to look a week and a half out, which is fantastic news. But we want to ensure that that interest is maintained in helping the blood supply well into the future as the recovery from COVID-19 stretches on.
And for people interested in donating, does the website show where blood drives are happening?
Yes. If you go to weareblood.org, you can find an interactive map, which will show you where our donor centers are located and where our active mobile drives are located. Clicking on each on a certain date range or day will give you all the available appointments. and then you'll be able to book yourself an appointment and come on in.
Nice, nice. And this is just an aside, you know, because it interests me. Has the rise in plasma donation centers hurt blood donation?
You know, there is a concern within the blood donation industry about plasma centers, but I don't really see that as a concern yet, because I think that the people who are visiting plasma centers are doing it because they do need some financial help and are looking for a little extra money that will help them in their lives. And right now, the people that we're catering to at blood donation centers are doing so from a philanthropic and charitable standpoint. Now, blood centers could start to target a little more plasma donors by offering financial incentive, but hospitals do not want to use blood for transfusions into patients that's labeled as paid donor versus unpaid. So that's the big difference there.
And why would that be? Why would they not want paid versus unpaid?
Anecdotally, I think that they are concerned that there are many different questions that we have to ask blood donors about their background, health history, and things like that before they're able to donate. If you have a financial incentive to donate, you might want to give all the right answers to be able to donate.
Yeah. All right, Nick, one of the things I've heard about is the ability to use convalescent plasma to treat people with COVID-19. Is the We Are Blood, are y'all involved in that at all?
We definitely are. It's only a couple weeks old, but we have launched a COVID-19 convalescent plasma program. And what we're doing is we're asking people who have been lab tested, diagnosed with COVID-19 and recovered and had no symptoms for at least 14 days to visit our website and submit a form to qualify. They could become convalescent plasma donors, meaning they could donate plasma that could possess antibodies that will be used to treat patients currently dealing with the virus in life-threatening circumstances. Without a vaccine, convalescent plasma is one of our best options to treat patients in those circumstances.
Nice. And I have heard that a large portion of the population may have already had COVID-19 and recovered because it, you know, in some cases, it just feels like a quick flu. So I guess that brings up the subject of testing. Are there any plans moving forward for being able to test people who aren't actually suffering from it right now?
So we would love to be able to do so. What you're talking about is an actual antibody test. The FDA just approved the first U.S. approved antibody test a few weeks ago, so it's not widely available and no blood centers have it to be able to do that kind of testing. So unfortunately, that is why we are requiring that prior lab-tested diagnosis of COVID-19. And that is a significant roadblock to many people, like you mentioned, that are reasonably healthy and might have dealt with it without significant problems and never got tested. So unfortunately, right now with the current protocols, those folks would not be able to qualify for the program. But hopefully, one day soon, we will have antibody tests available and would be able to offer that to people who suspected they had it.
Nice. And so I guess the best way to find out about that is to get connected with We Are Blood. I know I have an account there and I get emails from them. So I assume if people go there, fill out an account, they can get updates too.
Absolutely. They can do that. And if they are concerned or considering about becoming a COVID-19 convalescent program donor, they can find the submission form on there, especially for that, even if they do not have a current account. We're seeing so many new donors, especially through that program, because it's the first time that they thought of donating and realize how important it is.
I love it. I love it. Any final thoughts for the audience? Again, whether it's related to We Are Blood or just to the situation they're dealing with right now.
Sure. Just to know that the blood supply and blood donation is such a critical activity every day. People think of blood drives following natural disasters and tragically mass casualty shootings. But every single day, a cancer patient, accident victim, and even mothers and newborns need blood transfusions to live. So donating blood is where that goes to help. But right now, especially, know that even if you can't find an appointment in the near future, that the recovery from COVID-19 pandemic in our community is going to be a long-distance run rather than a sprint. So when you find an available appointment, it's going to be needed.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I can't encourage people enough to connect with you guys and donate. I know it's just such a powerful way you can do something positive during this really crazy time.
Agreed. Thank you, Chris.
You bet. Nick Canedo with We Are Blood, I want to thank you so much for sitting down with me, sharing some really vital information.
Well, I appreciate you helping us get the word out.
Hey, once again, I want to thank Nick Canedo of We Are Blood for sitting down with me, sharing what is a very important message about the need for blood donations during these crazy times. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for supporting these guys. And I have to thank the following supporters whose donations made this show possible. Browning Family Chiropractic, Waterloo Power, RS Pro Cleaning, Diane Purcell, Floral Renaissance of Austin, Stellar Energy Solutions, Corey Pack, State Farm Insurance, Trish Wilder, Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Letty Sanchez, AEM Executive Consultants, Bob Sprague, Legal Shield, Square Pet, Otan Patrick Ford, Hayes County Physical Therapy, Latham Beef Company, Willow Gardens Yoga, and Capital City Automotive. As always, I'm your host, Chris Daly, reminding you, please, please go out and support small business and keep it real.
To learn more about how Chris can help your company get more customers, call 713-269-4620 or visit us on the web at freshmediaworks.com.